Hold on to your butts.
The bigger point.
Why ain't you gonna press the flesh, Pappy? Do a little politicking?
I'll press your flesh, you big with a some bitch. You don't tell your Pappy how to cut the electorate. We ain't one at a time in here. We're mass communicating.
Oh, yeah. That's a powerful new force.
Mm-hmm. Take a leg, Junior.
Hey, y'all, in this episode of What's Happening with Carolina Chuck podcast, we're going to talk to Eric from Southern Goon. They make custom hats and apparel. He even makes his own plastic fishing worms right here in Clover, South Carolina. Y'all check him out. Be good. Peace out.
Up, chop them up. It's pretty easy. So, anyways, what's up, Eric?
Just another day in paradise, my man.
Yeah, so we've been, I don't know, I think I've been following you for a good couple of years, at least that's since I've been to South Carolina or New York.
Yeah.
And I saw Southern Goon. I said, man, that's cool. I don't know what it is, but it's cool. So I was curious. I'm looking at what you're doing. I'm like, man, he's making cool hats. And that was the same time they were trying to get me to get my own hats up there. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I just couldn't find anybody to make the logo I like. So I had some different people trying to make logos, and I said, you know what, I'm moving back to South Carolina anyways. We're going to do this whole big thing down south. I just feel like it, you know. So anyways, I've been following you, and I dig what you're doing. You put out really good content every day, and that's a freaking sweet hat.
Oh, yeah.
That's sweet right there. But, dude, I think it's awesome. So you got this thing called the Goon Shed, and I've been trying to get you to get me to come over there.
We're going to get you in the Goon Shed one day. It's a little bit of organized chaos in there right now because I had the Christmas shows coming up.
Yeah.
The orders. Right now, the orders coming in at the end of the year, everybody wants to re-up for the coming season.
Yeah.
So it's a madhouse in there. So once I get everything smoothed out in there, cause I got to build a couple more tables because when I started it, I started in an 8x10 shed.
Okay.
And that was a lot. Like just for me because I could touch the pitch of the roof.
It was
small.
Yeah.
Well, before the first year ended, like I didn't even get to my year mark and I was in the big shed. So I went from an 8x10 to a 12x16.
12x16.
Yeah.
All right. So you were saying you first started out making baits
for yourself. I made soft plastic baits for myself just to see, like, and try to kind of find the right little recipe, you would call it.
Yeah.
Because it takes, it's a pain in the butt to make these things because if you heat it up too long, it scorches it and burns it, and it doesn't want to cure the right way.
So what made you want to make your own baits?
Well, when you go to Walmart, I meant to bring some of my baits with me, but when you go to Walmart, you take a bait out of the pack, you can pull it and it'll break.
Right.
And it's just mass produced.
Yeah.
There's air bubbles all in them. They just look like crap. They just throw their stuff together.
I've used the heck out of those.
Yeah. So, but our baits, we wanted to make it high quality and better prices because I ain't able to really compete with Walmart prices, but my quality is 10 times better than Walmart.
Well, there you go.
I'm like, Walmart bait, you put it on there after one fish, 95% of the time, you're pulling that bait off, putting another one on there.
Right.
My bait, I fish with my bait all day. One bait.
Really?
All day.
Now, I've done a lot of pond fishing, and I know what you mean. When them bass bust that thing, and it's done. You gotta get rid of it.
But, yeah, it's so we started with the, just like your regular stick baits and your regular paddle tails and stuff like that. And then we're slowly expanding, but now everything's done got pushed to the side. People want baits.
Yeah.
But they want apparel a lot more. So I'm trying to find that nice little limbo
little groove right now. I mean, you gotta, you're supply and demand, but.
Yeah.
But yeah, dude, there's a lot of, I get what you're saying. Like you could buy, I think I'd like to try them on this pond, to be honest with you.
I got you, man.
So would you make any spinner baits or anything like that? Or
I don't make the spinner baits. I make all the soft plastic sports. So I can hook you up with just about any other person. What is it? Pandemic He is with somebody else. But, I mean, the fishing community, they're, it don't matter if there was 30 people in here that made soft plastics. We're all going to help each other out.
Yeah.
We're not like Walmart and all them, like, and Cabela's and Academy where we hate each other, but like we'll help him out. We'll say, hey, he does this one and I do this one. And it.
So what does it take to make it? I mean, what kind of equipment did you have to bring in?
It sounds kind of dumb. You need a microwave.
Mm-hmm. A regular microwave.
A regular microwave, a Pyrex cup.
Uh-huh.
Some Plastisol.
Okay.
Some colorant and some glitter. Yeah. But the Plastisol is the most expensive thing. So a 5-gallon pail is running about $200.
And how many,
It depends on which one, what bait you're using it with. So I can usually, out of a 5-gallon pail, or out of a gallon, I can get about 750 5-inch stick baits out of 1 gallon.
Okay.
But then when you're throwing, that's a 5-inch. So when you throw in a 6 1/4 magworm, or you throw in a 4 3/4 paddle tail, and it's thicker. So everything, like, you gotta be able to price it the right way and put the amount in a pack, because everything that's in our packs, all my packs are $5, like across the board, except for the crappy jigs. Like they're $3.
Really?
Yeah. But I wanted to put as many in a pack as I could to where it justifies selling it for $5. And every single one of my packs has more than what's at Walmart. And all of mine are made by hand.
I'll be honest with you, I would have probably paid $10 if you didn't tell me $5.
I got some in the truck out there.
I think I got $10. how did you get into apparel then?
So we started, we went through Printify, and that was a pain in the butt. So
you were just making your own.
Like we wanted to make our own, but to get the name out there, we went with Printify. And basically is we uploaded our image to it, and they would put it on apparel for us, and we would just get a percentage when somebody would order it from the website. And it basically got to the point where we weren't making any money off the apparel sales.
Right.
I was like, hey, I can justify making it if I can get.
Because you were selling it, though.
Yeah, we were selling them. It was selling pretty good.
Really?
But we weren't getting enough profit from it because Printify wanted all their little fees and everything.
Yeah, yeah,
we were
getting
like $2 or $3 a hat.
Yeah.
Oh, and like $5 or $6 a shirt. And I'm like, you got to sell 1,000 of them to be able to make anything off of it.
Right.
And I'm like, we're not a big brand right now. We started fine tuning stuff to where I finally broke down. I had one big order. For baits, and that's when I bought my laser. So I bought the laser.
Let me ask you one thing before we get further into apparel. Are you selling your baits to a retailer?
Anywhere? I do. So Wiggle My Worm and Clover. I got my baits in that
Wiggle
store.
My Worm and Clover.
Wiggle My Worm.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a pretty cool guy. Old Jason. I cannot pronounce his last name. So I ain't going to try.
So, in pronouncing names, we also got to give a shout-out to where we're sitting right now.
Oh, El Preferidos.
Preferidos. That's a sweet name.
Miss Eugenia Gallicos.
Yeah, thank you for letting us hang out in this little party room.
Oh, yeah.
Having a fiesta.
It's pretty nice up in here.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I like these tables, man. I'm going to tell you, I left some really cool furniture that I picked out up north.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't pay for it. NBC paid for it, but they, I got to pick it out.
Yeah.
I felt bad. I told him, look, Mark, if you listen, I said we'd work something out. I'd pay for it. But it was some really cool couches and armchairs. But my last little set thing I got going on. I'm definitely working on getting a new studio, but this will do.
If you want new furniture, you heard it here first. My dad's going to start making all wood stuff. All wood stuff.
Well, if it's going to be all wood, I'm going to need a cushion on it because I'm going to be sitting still for an hour.
We'll get you a cushion made.
Yeah. I mean, heck, we'll check him out. Wiggle My Worm, you went in there and said, hey, check this out.
Yeah.
You showed him what you got.
Mm-hmm. And me and him set up the deal. So basically, I bring everything I can in there. He puts it on the shelf. He marks it with his price, and I just get my wholesale price. So he's not paying me money up front. I'm 2 minutes away from him.
Yeah.
And I go down there once a week, and I pick up what he sold that week. And then I made hats for him, and we just split that stuff straight down the middle. Like, he marks it up for his price,
yeah,
and we split it straight down the middle.
Them hats, bro, I'm telling you, them everybody up there, there's this guy named Chris Balvo or something up there. He makes them. And, heck, I ain't got one. I don't know. I had to rock the Gamecocks gear because I wanted to bring that up pretty soon, too. But, man, they're making a killing on these hats up there. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what they're making on, to be honest with you, but everybody's got one. It just the little leather thing just popped up, and everybody started getting them hats. And I'm like, daggone, that's cool. I like them.
And so I'm doing the pre-cut patches now.
Yeah.
Come first of the year, my goal is to get a bigger laser so I can do die cut.
What is that?
So basically that sticker you got right there.
Yep.
Instead of it being on a rectangle, I can cut out the whole image on a piece of leather and put it on the hat.
That's cool. That's
cool. And I can make different oblong shapes, whatever.
Make whatever.
Yeah.
Wow. I got to get somebody to cook me up a logo. You know anybody that does logos?
My wife does them.
All right. Just tell her I'm just some redneck that talks on a microphone. Preferably to other rednecks. But, yeah, I don't know what kind of logo that would be.
Yeah.
But
we'll get you something. She is the master behind a lot of this.
What's
stuff.
Your wife's name?
Justine.
Justine. Does she go to Clover?
Yep. She's 3 years younger than me. She graduated in 2011. Justine Springsteen is her maiden name.
Oh, snap.
She's not related to Bruce, though. Not related to Bruce.
You never know.
You never, it could be that down the line.
He's got a couple songs about South Carolina, Darlington County. That's where my daddy and him is from. But, yeah, so Wiggle My Worm, any other retail stores?
So I was in – well, I still am. They're a little small. Bud's Bait and Tackle in Rock Hill, mm-hmm. right there off of Mount Gallant. Bass Shack up in Shelby. I'm in one store in Texas. It's actually the largest seafood.
Texas?
Yeah. The largest seafood distributor in the state of Texas.
Wow.
And they have their own bait and tackle store. And they're like on Corpus Christi.
Man, that's crazy.
So it's, yeah. They bought a bunch of my grubs and I sent them down there. I made a couple hats for them. And then they ordered a bunch of my hats. And I'm like, why you want my hats down there? But whatever. So I sent them a crap ton of my hats.
You got Texas boys walking around with that South Carolina on there, boy. What?
Yeah.
That's awesome. That is awesome.
Yeah.
And that's cool. How'd you pick the name? How'd the name come about?
So.
And while we do that, I'm going to turn my mic away and I'm going to eat one of these chips because they're sitting in front of me. They did me wrong. Y'all want some chips down there?
Oh, I'm good, Bubba. But so we were going to start it out with. It was just going to be Goon something. And I was like, well, we got to put Southern in it because we're in the South. Mm-hmm. So it was like Goon this, Goon that, Goon this. And I'm like, Southern Goon, that just fits.
Yeah, it's a great name. I was like, wow.
Yeah. So if you look at the logo, the fish head and the fishing rods, that was the original logo. That's the one my wife made.
Okay.
And I had a digital guy on Facebook. I paid him like $60-$70. And I was like, hey, I need the South Carolina emblem. Mm-hmm. And I need you to make Southern Goon pop the best you can. And that's what he came up with.
I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that, dude. That's kind of what happened to me when I went to New York. I was like, I knew I had to brand myself. I studied a little bit of branding when I went up there. And I didn't come up with Carolina Chuck. One of my customers said, hey, Carolina Chuck, can you do something for me? Because I go by Charlie, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when I got up there, Charlie Caprera owned the dealership. They said, we're going to call you something different. Because we'll get anxiety if we page Charlie. You know what I mean? So they said, "How about Chaz?" I was like,
"No,
heck no." I was like, "No, sorry about that." You know, and what's funny is that's what Charlie Caprera ended up calling me. He says, "What's up, Chaz?" I'm like, I don't know if he's being funny, but I think it's funny, you know. I'm like, "Hey, man, what's going on?" But anyways, one of my customers texted me and asked me to get something out of his old truck or something one day. He's like, "Hey, Carolina Chuck, can you do something?" Whatever it was. And I was like, "Hey,
there we go.
That's it right there." Because I was cutting radio commercials. And I was getting on there, "Hey, y'all, it's Charlie Winburn. Come down here and see me." I knew I had to spice it up a little bit. I didn't know. And then all of a sudden, when that hit, I was like, "I'm just going to be me."
The wheels started turning.
Yeah, so I got on that microphone. I was like, "Hey, y'all, it's Carolina Chuck. Come down here and see me, FX Prairie Honda." Mm-hmm. And I started crushing the radio, dude. And, dude, next thing I know, I'm signing freaking autographs in the showroom. It was crazy. Little kids wanted to meet me. I mean, it was wild. I'm going to, like, celebrity bartending, like, celebrity. You know what I mean? I'm like, "Wow, that's cool." You know what I mean? Like, they don't even know that. I don't even know what I'm doing, you know? And it got pretty wild. So I dig the logo because the thing about it is, and I, you know, get a little sidetracked on what we're talking about. The place I was at in New York ain't New York City.
Mm-hmm.
This, and I'm not saying there's going to be a civil war, but they are two way separate things. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they are like North Country, and that's them down there. You know what I mean? Like, I went to a really cool place where they were country. I mean, they got the dang-um Amish buggy hooked up at the Walmart. You know what I mean? Like, it was wild. But the thing about it is there ain't nobody had New York flags hanging outside their house like you see down here. There's a state flag on pretty every other house. You know, it's just, I'm not going to speak for them, but because they're going to listen. But it's not a lot of state pride. There's like this North Country regional pride. You know what I mean? I mean, obviously, some people are proud to be from the city, and that's what they call New York or whatever. I'm just saying, from what I viewed, people were proud to be where they were from right there, like not the whole state. So,
well, it's like that city slicker. City slicker line you got. Like, every state's got it.
Yeah.
I think New York takes it.
Yeah, takes it to a whole nother level.
Because it's like he was born in Michigan.
Yeah.
And my wife's from Michigan. So the further north you go in Michigan, the more southern it gets.
Right.
Like, I mean, talking about real, they make us look like city boys.
Listen to you. I was out there. I went to a place where this man had a woods burning stove in the middle of his house.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these guys were... You know, hey, this country, that's all I can say.
It's the simple life.
Yeah, it was a really cool experience, and I'm glad I experienced it, and it was a really cool place to be. But getting back to state pride,
that's why
I latched on. It wasn't this part, which is cool. It was the fact that you took the whole state pride in there. I was like, "Man, this guy's repping the whole state." What? And, you know, it kind of coincided with what I got going on.
Because it was born in Clover, SC.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's, I thought about adding a North Carolina.
Yeah.
But I was like,
I mean, we lived on the state line, but.
We do live on the state line, but that.
But the thing about it is, I'm going to say it, North Carolina's full of hippies and stuff.
There you go.
You know? I mean, most of it. It's like New York, you know what I mean? It's, you can't,
the closer you get to Charlotte, the little crazier it is, and the further you get away from Charlotte, the better it is.
Yeah, that's awesome, bro. So let's go on to where you decided you was going to start selling apparel. You were selling hats on a website. You were making your own, right?
No, we weren't making our own yet.
Not making your own, but you had made some, and they started selling online.
Yeah, so we started selling. They were embroidered.
Okay.
So it was through Printify, and it was basically just the first logo. It was the fish head with the fishing rods, And it looked pretty cool. I mean, I still have one of the original hats that I had. They wouldn't give me one. I had to buy one. And then I got my little $3 from the hat. Yeah. So
that's awesome.
I bought that one. It was good. They were going good. And then I was like, man, we got to do something because we got to build the brand. Like, mm-hmm. If you know Southern Goon, you got to, right now, people know when you say Southern Goon, if you're around here, they know what it is.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah.
So that's what I wanted to try to do. So that's why I was like, you know what? If I get another big order, I'm going to take the step. I'm going to buy a laser. Bought the laser. The first couple patches were trash. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had no idea what I was doing. So I was YouTube tutorial and like everything.
Yeah.
And I mean, I got it dialed in and I started selling my hats. I had the Weekend Hooker, the Local Hooker, the Masturbator, and all of them.
Yeah.
Those started doing good at the shows. And my wife's like, why don't you just reach out to some local businesses and see if they want some hats made? So I started reaching out and then that's when it just went.
I just had an idea. I don't know if I really saw it on a hat or not, but I tell that story that I saw it on a trucker hat.
Mm-hmm.
I made a radio commercial and I was saying, I was trying to grow my Facebook following. So I'm on the radio.
Yeah.
So I was like, hey, y'all tag Carolina Chuck in your fish pictures. You know what I mean? So I said something about, taking pics and ripping lips and people may have quoting that to me left and right. It was funny as heck. So I don't know if you want to, but you can steal it and put it on a hat. That sounds pretty cool.
We got bending tips and ripping lips.
That might have been where I got it from. But I would, but the thing about it was is I had to get you to tag me in the picture.
Exactly.
So,
that way it builds it up. Because one share could be the difference between one and a million.
Yeah.
And you just don't know.
You don't know.
No. So.
And I did a one tag Chuck in your buck. So I had all these people just, and I said, I'm going to give you a Runnin's. It's this outdoor place up there, a gift card. And man, I had just people left and right sending me all these, and I'm talking about the deer up there are humongous.
Oh, yeah.
And
they don't make them like down here.
Yeah. and they're everywhere. They're just, I mean. Sometimes you'll see like a moose picture. Somebody will see a moose somewhere and take a picture of them. I'm like, God, dang. If I seen a dang moose in the wild,
I'll be sitting there taking a picture of it.
It's like a dinosaur coming through the woods. I'd be scared. But how long you been going at this?
So right now, a little over a year and a half. Yeah, so we started September of 2022 when I open up the LLC.
So you had already got a little practice under you making your own baits.
Mm-hmm. Because I needed to be able to do shows and stuff in South Carolina, you got to have your business license and all that jazz and do your taxes. And so
I did a DBA because I was like, I'm doing nothing but a podcast. I don't think I could get sued, but.
No, you can do. So what we did is we did a LLC, so it's Southern Goons. It's the LLC. So I can do a DBA. I can do like 50 DBAs under that LLC. So they can only sue that DBA.
Yeah.
They can't sue the whole LLC.
Man, I'm about to. I got hit by a mail truck the other day. Now to think about suing people.
There you go.
I did. I got me and my son was walking on the road. And my dad lives about 80 yards from a gas station. We walked over to get some drinks, and it's a little back street, you know what I mean? And there's a car coming, so we got to the other side. We're walking towards traffic, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like they're coming our way. And there's some woods right here, just a little patch of woods, and there's an intersection. Well, the mail truck's coming from the left, right? I can see it coming. We're walking straight. And she just looks, keeps on looking towards my dad's house, looking to the left. And she rolls that stop sign. I'm like, holy crap. Because I'm thinking they're going to stop and we're just going to cut right in front of them because we're right there. And it rolls right at me. And I'm like, oh, my God. You know, I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And then I had to, like, literally slam my son to the ground. Because you got a split second to think of what you're about to do because she ain't looking at me at all. And she's had enough time to to face me. You know what I mean? So I don't know what, I was terrified. And I didn't want to push him out of the way because he'd go towards the tire. So I was like, the best thing I could do is get him under the car. Because I'm getting hit. You know? And I get hit. I get knocked about 8 feet. Boom. I'm like, God. And I stay on my feet. And she gets out. She's like, well, you know, like, what's going on? Like, I'm like, I don't know what she's saying.
You
know
what's going on?
I'm like, what the heck? I kept cussing and everything. And I mean, I wasn't cussing her. I was in shock and kind of scared of her. I mean, I've been in boxing matches, so I ain't a sissy, but for some reason, I was like freaked out, you know? And I said, don't go nowhere. And went down there and got my, because I didn't even bring my phone. I went down there and called my dad. I was like, I don't know what to do. I just got hit by a mail truck, you know what I mean? And David, my son, he's all scraped up and everything. And anyways, so we had to call the ambulance. We got the police and stuff. And I mean, I didn't want to get nobody in trouble, but she just hit me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, you kind of,
you know, I didn't know what to do, but it was pretty crazy. Anyways, I just wanted to share that. We were talking about, the LLC thing. Yeah. I'm like, wait a minute. I got a lawsuit I'm trying to work on.
There you go.
I don't know what I could get out of it. I mean, I don't want
much.
You'd
be surprised. But it's the government right there, Bubba. You can get
it. Yeah. I mean, dude, money. I was hurting like heck. My son's all scraped up, and he's still kind of sore and stuff. And, you know, and honestly, it's just terrifying, really. Yeah,
you just don't know these days.
Like, I don't even want to check my mail no more. You know?
You want to pay somebody to check your mail now.
I'm not going out there. But anyways, so yeah, dude, I got the DBA because I was like, I just want to be able to conduct business and get a, you know, get the, what is it, the EIN or whatever.
Yep.
And try to get a couple of sponsors and stuff. I was like, there ain't much that I don't believe that I needed an LLC right away. But we'll look and see if I start selling stuff and talk it. I did have a thing to have people sign off, so I was like, I can't get sued. But you know, Eminem got famous from getting sued, so whatever it costs,
yeah,
you know.
I mean, people today, these days, they get famous just by the most random stupid
stuff. Yeah, by the random, I mean, the hot tour chick, come on.
Like, I mean, heck, you'd be surprised how many of them hats I sold.
Really?
Yeah. Like, just random little Christmas shows. I was selling the crap out of them hats.
Really?
Yeah.
Christmas shows.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's like, it was a, what, if she don't hop to it, I ain't talking to her.
Yeah.
And hop to a 2024. Like, and people were just buying it.
Where are you getting these patches? Like the, is it like a, you got like a website to print?
Yeah, so it's like an SVG file. So
That's what I'm asking. Yeah.
So you can go on Etsy and you can pick out any file, but you got to read the details that the seller put on there. So some of them put disclaimers on and say, hey, you can use this for personal use. So, like, say they printed a Carolina thing.
Yeah.
And I used it, but some of them put a limit, like, you can only use it 1,000 times. Or you can sell it for commercial use unlimited, but you got to buy the file from them. But also, if you go a little bit deeper.
1,000 times, that's kind of a weird.
It's a weird number. So you can only sell it on a piece of apparel 1,000 times. But the gray area is, I've done a lot of the research before I started buying stuff.
Yeah.
If you change the image, it's just like a patent. If you change the digital image before you put it on something, it is officially your image. If you just take the image and put it straight on something, it's not technically yours. So if I take, basically like a patent, like if, say you came up with this cup and I came in here and I did something to it and I changed it 30%. It's my cup now. So if I change the image enough to where you know what it is, but it doesn't necessarily look 100% like the original, then it's your image. I could put it back on there and sell it as mine. It's crazy. Like there's a lot of gray area. Like you gotta watch.
And
it's just like the solid plastics. Like a lot of them are, so they try to trademark names and they try to trademark colors. So like the bigger companies, they will reach out to you if you call a bait a certain thing. Like I've had a bunch of my buddies like even local that make baits that have gotten letters from Strike King, from Zoom, for they call the bait the exact same thing they do. And like, hey, you can't do that. Like, they'll send them a letter first. Like, hey, you can't do that. You need to change this. And like, you're going after a little guy. Like, he ain't making $10,000 a year on these baits. And you're gonna send him a piece of paper like that? Like, come on. Like a cease and desist? Come on.
Huh.
Yeah. Because they know that the little guys are taken away from their business at the local Walmarts, Academies, Cabela's. And
all yeah, that they stuff. Probably got somebody just hired on that does nothing but look for crap like that all day.
Oh, yeah. Because I just heard somebody trademark the name Fluke.
Really?
So I got to go change all my stuff. Because you cannot say the word Fluke in any of your bait names.
Fluke. I mean, that's a shape, ain't it?
Nope, the way they described it is it's the fish on a Zoom. So the 5-inch Fluke. Mm-hmm. Like, I have one. And I call it the... But I got to take Fluke out of it. It can't have the word anywhere in it. It don't matter if you add other stuff to it. It still can't have that one word. And that's why, like, a lot of my colors, like Southern Dew, like, none of my colors are...
The Southern what?
Southern Dew.
The Southern Dew?
Mm-hmm. So it looks just like Mountain Dew.
Oh.
Mountain Dew, Sun Drop. I couldn't find anything to rhyme with drop. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do Southern Dew.
Yeah. I like it.
And then you got Watermelon Smash, got Goonie Bug, got Swamp Water. That one was came up, the Goon Fam came up with that one.
Really?
Yeah. So it's like a muddy brown with red flake. So it pops in the sun, but it does on a cloudy day, it just, that black object in the water, and bass is going to tear it up.
I bet that's cool as heck. You make something, and then when you get a bite on it, I bet you get tickled to death.
Oh, yeah. It's freaking insane. Like, the first time we took our baits out, we went down to Lake Oliphant down in Chester, old Brattonsville Road.
Oh, yeah.
That place right there is nice. I mean, it is nice. It's owned and maintained by the DNR. So there's no trash on there. You can only fish. Wednesdays, Friday, and Saturday. It's weird. But they stock it with catfish, bass, brim. Well, we went down there, and I was throwing out a stick bait. Mm-hmm. And I was just cranking it in. And I was from me to you to the bank. When I was getting ready to get it
out of the water. Yeah, out of the water.
All of a sudden, my line goes, and I'm like, whoa. And the old man on the dock over there, they're like, oh, you got a good one. They was like, what do you think it is? I was like, I hope it's a bass.
Yeah.
15-pound channel.
What?
Yeah. Dude, I had a small bait caster, 10-pound test, and it took all I had to get him up on the bank. Dude, that joker, it was a watermelon smash with garlic scent, and he hit that thing like his life depended on it.
Jeez Louise.
I didn't even know he was sitting there because you thought it was like a stump, but he was in maybe 2.5-3 feet of water. And you could see him sitting there. I didn't pay no attention to him sitting there, but when my bait got there, I seen the whole water move.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I used to with Nate, I used to go fishing with him and his brother down at this pond. Dude, we had this big pond in Lake Wylie. Gonna crush it. I was fishing my buddy Robbie. He ain't gonna listen to this. He don't never listen to nothing. So I'm gonna talk some junk. We was hitting a pond one day. I want to say it was a 7-acre pond. It's big.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd be like, "Oh, I gotta bite. I don't have my John boat down there. I put a fish finder on it." And
you were big time in it, didn't you?
Yeah, I was like, "Yeah, here we go." And he goes, "Oh, I got a bite." And he pulls up grass. And then every once in a while, he goes, "Oh, I got a bite." He's reeling. He's fighting. It's grass. whatever. So we got to the deep part of the water. I got it on my phone somewhere. I got to find it. He goes, oh, I got a bite. I said, come on, man. I'm sitting there just getting little bite, little fish like that. Mm-hmm. I turn around, that thing jumps about, wah, wah, wah. I said, no, just like that. You can hear me. No. He rolled that big old thing up in the boat. I was like, God dang, dude. Everybody catches monsters down there, but I can find the fish. I'm on them. You know what I mean? I'm on them. I'm only catching these little bass. I was mad. Everybody catches a monster down there. He spent all day pulling grass up and caught a once-in-a-lifetime fish out of that pond. And here I am just hating like crazy. I'm sitting there with the net. I was like, it was crazy.
There's one honey hole we go down to in Rock Hill. My dad's buddy owns. Well, he don't own the pond, but he lives on the pond. It's probably a 1 acre, 2 acre pond. It's small. Mm-hmm. Well, that's where we went and first started testing out some of the stuff. Well, I put one of my creature baits on a chatterbait.
Mm-hmm.
Now every time you go down there, you can put the exact same chatterbait, the exact same bait, and this bass will follow it to the bank. He will never bite it. That joker is every bit that long.
God,
he'll follow it all the way to the bank. I've done it multiple times. Just throw it right back out there. He'll follow it right back to the bank, but he'll never freaking hit it.
That
makes you sick.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my dad caught a brim on one of our soft plastics, and he put it on a big old catfish rod. And he just slung it out there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's like, he just left the line going.
Yeah.
And he's like, line's moving, so he kind of just started easing it in, left the drag real loose. Easing it in, and I swear he had to have had an 8 or 9 pound largemouth on there. She had the whole thing in her mouth, the whole brim. That brim was about that big.
That's a pretty decent sized brim.
I mean, and he reeled her, got her all the way from me to you, and as soon as he kind of got her up out of the water before he set the hook, she went, oh. Man, I ain't heard that old man cuss that much.
Yeah.
In a long time.
So how's the apparel going? I mean, you look like you're crushing it on that. Oh, yeah.
Like the apparel, like we're in, shoot. The last time I checked, I was in 14 states already.
14 states?
And Canada.
What?
Yeah.
Really? And this is online purchasing?
No, this is basically, it's almost like cold calling. So I'll go and I'll look at you. If you go look at my personal page, I'm following like almost 10,000 people because I go around and I'm for the small people. So when I first started, I was only going after people that were under 1,000 followers because my prices are hard to beat. I've called around and gotten prices from other apparel companies and they're like, It's ridiculous. Like some of the apparel companies, my stuff's half price.
Really?
Yes. Because I pick up local.
Yeah.
All my hats are from Carolina made up in Indian Trail.
Hmm.
And so if I pick up local, I don't have shipping charge. If I pay with cash, they don't charge me taxes.
Really?
Yeah. So I mean, I can maneuver my range is a lot better than everybody else because some people are charging that hat right there. Some people are charging $30 a hat, just wholesale. That's selling to a wholesale customer. Selling really? To somebody else. Mine, $20 a hat.
That's a $40 hat all day.
Yeah. Oh, I got people selling them $40-$45 a hat.
Dang.
Yeah, and that is a Richardson 112. That's a 168. My bad. That's a 7-panel.
Golly, boy, that's nice as heck. And what about, are you doing like shirts and stuff too? Yeah,
I got the shirt on right now. We do DTFs, so.
I know what DTF means.
Yeah, well it's not the same DTF you're thinking about. So the DTF, so we started out with vinyl. My wife had a Cricut, and she used like cut out vinyl and stuff like
right,
that.
Right, right, right.
Well. Our prices are very good and even using vinyl, but I was like, I want to be able to offer somebody something that's they're going to love, and it's going to be able to withstand more than 15, 20 washes in a washing machine, and stuff starts peeling off.
So
I tried mine with the vinyl, and 10 or 15 washes, the corners started coming up. Mm-hmm. I'm going to stand up here in a second. I'm going to show you this shirt. I'm going to let you guess how many washes this thing's been washed. Yep. It's got that logo on the back of it, full color.
Yep. I seen you walk in here with it.
I'm going to let you guess how many washes. So.
Let's see it. Come on.
So, this one right here. Slide it
down. Oh, man.
Yeah. So, take a guess on how many washes you think that one's had.
I'm assuming it's more than 15, right?
Oh, yeah. A lot more than 15.
Let's go with 30.
65.
That's pretty creepy. I mean, I guess it's a, an experiment.
Plus or minus about two or three. Because okay. I made this when we first started doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And it's like an experiment, right?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I'll wear this thing minimum once a week, and the wife washes it minimum once a week.
Let me ask you this. What do you do full-time?
I'm a manufacturer, so I run CNC machines.
Really?
Yeah. So that's how I'm able to
know what to do
the CAD design and able to set up the laser the way I want it to, because the laser is exactly like a CNC machine.
Yeah, yeah. That's so what I was thinking. I was like, man, he's got to know how to run a CNC.
Yeah.
Because when I used to do stairs and stuff, we'd cut stuff on a CNC.
On the routers, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I didn't do it. I'd tell them when I need it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that's awesome, dude. So where do you, what do you got coming up next?
What I want to do is I want to get a bigger laser. Mm-hmm. So whether it be the exact same one I got, just in a bigger model, or I go fully in and get a CO2. If I get a CO2 laser, I can do literally everything. I can cut metal. It's crazy. I'm not talking about like thick sheets of metal, but I'm talking about like just cut out signs and all that kind of stuff.
Really?
Yeah. Like I can laser engrave on. Mine now, I could laser engrave just about anything. Like the harder materials, like the acrylics, the slates, stuff like that, it takes a little bit longer because it's not as powerful.
Mm-hmm.
The further I go up, the quicker it goes.
And I mean, how your business is rapidly growing.
Yeah.
Correct. I mean, so what do you think this decision is going to be based on? Like you set yourself a time?
I'm wanting. I got to finish paying off when I got the Suburban out of the shop. Still got to pay the transmission off on that one. But once I pay the transmission off, everything I make after that, because right now I'm not really pulling any money out of the business. Everything's going straight back because I still got a full-time job. So I don't have to pull money out.
Right, right.
So everything I make goes straight back into the business. So that's why I was like, you know what? I'm paying $100 a month for this little shed. So now I'm paying $260 a month for this big shed. And I got more room than I know what to do with right now. And now, so that's why I'm just adding.
And this is at your house?
Yeah. My goal is hopefully by the end of next year, we're going to be able to have our own. Like, we're going to build another house. And I'm going to have my own building, not like shed. The goon building.
The goon.
Yeah.
Dude, so
the goon
with
bunker.
This brand that you've got, I mean, this could be so much. And I mean, I think you're aware of that. And
yeah.
You're acting on it. I mean, this brand, I mean, it's captivating. Like, it don't matter what it is. Mm-hmm. It's Southern Goon. You're like, oh, what is that? I like that. You know what I mean? It's a very captivating logo and brand name.
Yeah.
For sure. And you're doing a lot of local stuff too. I mean, but you got people expanded all around the country. I mean, what other states are you in other than?
So right now, one of my real big first customers was a guy named Vinny Wozniak out of Louisiana. down the bayou.
Yeah, that sounds like a bayou name.
Oh, yeah. But he's got this thing called Go Noodling.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. This boy gets it done. Like, he goes down there and he finds the catfish.
God dang almighty. No way. I mean, I say there ain't no way, but
he tells me, he's that all you got to do is show up. He said, we'll put you on the catfish. So maybe we can go down there and do a little podcast with old Vinny.
I swear. I mean, it's not, things that freak me out like that, I just got to do. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Just stick your hand out in there and get it done.
God almighty, boy. I'm telling you.
We've made hats for him. We've done shirts for him. Like, we've shipped hats for him all over the country. Because that's when we were starting small, and he was small. Mm-hmm. So me and him kind of grew together, because when I first reached out to him, we were both a couple hundred followers. Now I just broke 3K. He's mm-hmm. been broken over 3K. He's got folks coming in already booked for next year. Like, he through the summertime, he was fully booked out.
Dang.
Yeah, and now he's doing the gator hunts. He's doing.
Really?
Oh, yeah. He's doing all kinds of stuff.
I like to go. God almighty. I want to.
It's crazy. And then the one up in Canada, Paradise Bay.
Paradise Bay?
Yeah. Wilderness camp. All they do is just basically just big old hunting laws. They do a little bit of everything. But bears is what they really go after. And they ordered a crap ton of hats for me.
Really?
Yeah. And they didn't care about the changeover for the exchange rate and nothing. He was like, hey, just tell me what it is in U.S. Tell me what the conversion rate is. He said, I'll send it over.
And you're just cold calling people.
I'm cold calling them. I got a pre-written message that I work on and I critique.
Yeah. But
I got it down pat right now.
Yeah.
To where it makes you feel like the Southern hospitality when you receive that message.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of want to hear it.
Yeah.
Is it a secret or are you going to share it? I'd like to hear it, to be honest with you. I'm a sales guy. This is really my I cold call every day.
So this is the one I sent earlier. So it's good afternoon. I'm the owner of Southern Goon in Clover, South Carolina. I make custom leather patch hats and other apparel. Would love to make some stuff for y'all. Just let me know if you're interested. Thank you for your time and consideration. God bless.
Perfect.
And that's literally, that's all I do all day long. And when I first started doing the cold calling,
yeah,
Facebook went round and round. So
Facebook.
Yeah. So I send it on Facebook Messenger on my personal page.
Yeah.
I just go around to all the business pages, the sponsored ads that pop up. And sometimes they would let me send 30, 40 messages a day. Next day, it'd be 3.
What do they mean?
It would just say couldn't send. And I'm like, so I started doing a lot of digging, a lot of research, stuff like that. And they're like, oh, well, I got one email that says, oh, you're spamming. And I'm like, not spamming. Because at that time, I was typing out. I wasn't copying and pasting. I was typing out and like adding personal details.
Right.
I would go through the person's page and pick out little stuff. And when I started doing that, they said I was spamming. So I was like, okay. So then I started copying and pasting. Well, then it went up to like 50, 60 pages a day I could message. And then it would go back down 10 or 20. And then some days it would just like, hey, it would lock me completely out. So I couldn't like, I couldn't share, I couldn't do anything. And I'm like, what's going on? So then I started slowly doing it again. And it started doing just fine. So now I try to like limit myself. Where it's like between 10 and 25 a day to where, and what I try to do is Facebook Messenger really screwed me one time is they like deleted everything. So I didn't know who I messaged. So I was going back and what I tried to do is I try to like everybody's page that I message. That way I know from if I come across it again, whether it'd be on a sponsored ad or whatever, I know that message them again or it'll pop up, they ordered or whatnot. But then I didn't know. So I had to go back through everything. Mm-hmm. Like I knew the ones from the Goon Wall of Fame that mm-hmm. I've already ordered. But I didn't know if I had stuff in limbo that was getting ready to be ordered because all the messages were gone.
God dang, dude.
Yeah. that right there really, really hurt. Because a lot of people are like, hey, I told you no already. I'm like, look, I'm sorry. Facebook really screwed me up on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, dude, I'm going to be honest. I got my original Facebook deleted because I talked a lot of nonsense. But they got years and years of pictures mm-hmm. that I want back, and they won't talk to me about it. Come on. Come on, Facebook.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's awesome. So, you got it going on. That is a lot of work.
And I work full time. I got four kids, and I do this. Basketball practice, football practice. I coached his team, 3-4 years in a row and did this. I don't get in bed till 11:30, 12 o'clock every night.
Golly.
But that's what it takes to build the brand.
Yeah.
I want to build the brand where you see Southern Goon, you know it's all around. It's not just, oh, he's just doing this or he's just doing that. It's it's a one stop.
No, that's incredible, dude. And like I said, I'm familiar with building the brand, but obviously we went through it just a little different. You've got something physical to offer. I don't just got my voice. How about them Gamecocks?
Yes, boy, sir.
Come on now. What's happening, dude? Golly, I'm telling you, when they
Sellers put that team on his back. Like, I don't know what Loggins was doing. I mean, he called an excellent game against A&M. He called a pretty good game against Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
And then he muffs it on this one. But he didn't muff it enough to where he needs to keep Sellers with RPOs every play. That needs to be the entire offense if he's there.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if he can see, if he's opening.
Yeah.
I mean, the man's almost my size.
Like, yeah.
He needs to run.
Yeah.
You can run a 4 or 5 and you're almost my size. Like, you need to go.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but the thing is, he can throw like a champion too.
Yeah. Wow. And, but he's got like Nick Harbor next year. Nick Harbor's going to lead the SEC because he's slowly getting his hands where they need to be. I mean, he can burn any DB in the country.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're 6'4", 6'5", 240 pounds. You run a 10, 100 meter. Come on, bro. Come on. So he can burn any DB. His hands are getting better each game. He's going to be, you heard it here, he's going to be as good, if not better, than Leggett and Alshon Jeffries.
Let me ask you this. I don't know how to word it right. I thought Clemson looked better than us. They were playing way better ball.
Yes. Their offensive side of the ball was lights out compared to what we were doing
defense. And then their defense was pretty dang good, too. And I think it just came down to – us wanting it more right there at the end. But the watching the whole game, I'm like, Clemson looked.
Because
I'm not going to say better. They looked good.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe
they looked better than they did at any other game.
I ain't watched a Clemson game all year because I can't stand to see them.
Yeah, I can't stand that orange
either. Yeah, man, that makes me sick, really.
Makes me throw up right there.
Yeah. But, you know, so sometimes I don't see much of Clemson. Mm-hmm. I'll see, oh, they won a game. I was like, oh, that person that played sucked anyway, so who cares?
The all-cupcake conference,
baby. Yeah. So – I mean, but watching the game, I'm like, God, they look so good. I mean,
there's a couple of factors that go in. Like, they knew the offense that we were running.
Mm-hmm.
And we were playing them at their house.
Yep.
Rivalry week. And we didn't accommodate for them playing man coverage all day. Because they never went to zone.
Mm-hmm.
Their DBs had us.
That one
gobbled up
dang play they kept running where he was just throw it to the guy standing right there.
Screen pass. Yep, that's it.
Yeah, he did it like 5 times. And I was like, God, I'm freaking out. I was like, it's the same play. It's the same play every time. It made me mad, man. I was getting hot.
Oh, you should have heard me. Like, everybody at my house.
Yeah. Yeah. And, but, dude, so I don't know what's going to happen for the rest of the season.
Gamecocks should be in a CFP.
Yeah. But next season, I mean.
Next season, if we're not ranked in the top 25 starting out, we know. We already know they don't like us.
Yeah.
So, like, we're the redhead stepchild of the SEC. Like, they even threw Bandy in there before they started throwing us in there.
But I'm saying with Sellers and all.
Coming back.
Yeah.
And the way he's progressed, because you look at the Old Dominion game,
mm-hmm.
and then you look at the Clemson game. Sellers, like,
he's a baller.
He's running the Heisman. He's in the top 10 with the Heisman right now.
I don't want to get too far ahead because, I mean, there's still some football to be played. But, dude, next year.
That dude, he's going to do nothing but get bigger.
Yeah.
He's going to do nothing but get smarter.
Yep.
We're going to – that transfer portal, we already got him.
Yeah.
We got his younger brother coming in at wide receiver.
Who really?
Is a freak of nature fast.
Really?
Yes. Yes. And, I mean, who doesn't want to play with their older brother?
Right. I mean.
And being able to sling it. He's just going to be able to sling it, and his little brother's going to be able to get it.
They're going to be – something's going on in the head. There ain't going to be nothing but just knowing.
Telepathic thing going on there. You just go down that way, and I'm going to throw you the ball.
It's good. That'd be really cool to see.
Be like a backyard football game where that's going
to
be.
Yeah, I took my son to the Panthers game on Sunday, and he wants to go to a Gamecocks game, but I said, man, them tickets are kind of expensive. I found some cheap tickets for $19 for the Panthers game.
Tell you a way to get. My wife got us them, but I had to settle them because we had prior commitments because he had football.
Mm-hmm.
Gamecock tickets go on. I see if I can find what the wife exact website, but she got like a Father's Day special. And we didn't even go on Father's Day. It was weird.
Right.
And we ended up, it was like $50 a ticket.
Hmm.
It was lower upper deck.
I do have a friend who says he's got season tickets.
I do have a friend at work that his girlfriend goes to USC.
Oh, I know somebody goes to USC. Man.
We could get down there.
Yeah, I don't care. I'll spend $200 a ticket. I don't give a name. Yeah. But the thing is, what I was getting to is, that was my son's first game.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, man, he's going to get there, and he's going to get bored and want the phone halfway through. He's seven, you know? Yeah. And, man.
Oh, yeah. I heard that game was pretty crazy.
Yeah, he was the whole time. Up, just smacking his chair, third down, dude. And they're jumping offside. I mean, I said, dude, it freaking worked. He was excited. I mean, he's excited. So I will spend money on him to go down
just to see that twinkle. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just to see the Gamecocks, too. So, I mean, I know it's going to might cost a little more, but.
This one right here, even though he's a Michigan fan, he still wants to go to Willie B.
Yeah, listen, that, I've been to a couple games down there. It's not like a pro game. People sitting down at pro games, you know, they'll get up every once in a while when it's a major third down or something. But
South Carolina,
you're up the whole time. It is an experience like no other.
Especially at night. You go to a night game at Willie B when all them lights cut off.
Yeah. It is a really cool, I mean, honestly, it's a vibe, man. It's just insane. It's pretty cool. But, dude, you got any people you're doing business with you want to give a shout out to?
So, I guess you call him my mentor. So, K Bar Soap Co. Like, I've known him since I was younger in this one. And he's helped me through, just about everything. He told me about, hey, you need to do this on social media. You need to be doing this way. You need to be doing this that way. He got me to do Curtin Farms this year. It's one of the best shows I ever did, like profit-wise.
That's out here somewhere?
Yeah, it's right there off of Parham Road.
Yeah, I passed it the other day.
Yeah. They do like a Christmas show in November every year.
Really?
It's like, I think this was the 12th year, 12th or 14th year. I mean, it's been a long time. But, shout out to Wiggle My Worm. Puddings, El Preferitos.
Yeah.
They ordered hats. They got shirts here from Southern Gun.
They're letting us hang out back here.
The good food. Oh, yeah. But Yeah, and then all the other customers on the Goon Wall of Fame.
And the future ones, the ones to come. Yeah,
the future ones, like, they're going to come. By the end of 2024, I'm trying to have that whole slab filled. Yeah.
I don't sound like you need to raise your prices, but whatever. You know what you're doing better than I do. But look, man, I appreciate you coming to hang out with me, and I think we're going to do some stuff together and keep this thing going, because like I said, I'm doing this podcast because I want to highlight the community, mm-hmm. right? You know, I was doing that in New York, and then while I'm doing it, I'm sitting here talking to people, and I'm like, man, there's things going on back home. I mean, I don't want to like say I wasn't there in the conversation, but I'm like, I need to be doing this. It's kind of like I was playing. This might sound terrible too, but I don't care. I'm going to say it anyway. It felt like I was playing Major League Baseball in Mexico. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, I'm doing some big things, but I'm not in front of the home team.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, I think there's a lot of opportunity in what I'm going to try to do too, to do things like this, bring mm-hmm. in small businesses. We're going to create a lot of social media stuff with this. It's going to go to YouTube. We're going to split it up, make TikToks and Reels and all kinds of stuff. We'll go to podcasts, and some people are going to listen to it, and some people are going to see it, and then eventually more and more people are going to see it. And I really want to get everybody in town involved in it and kind of bring the community together and give them like another source of almost news, but this ain't really news. You know,
we're just sitting here BSing all
the time. Yeah, but
it gets the word and the name out there.
Yeah, and it really helps, and people see it, and you know, sometimes they're gonna see little reels or whatever, and then mm-hmm. they're gonna come and listen to the whole podcast. But like I said, it helps people get the word out, and with you know, and it being a community like this, we're gonna keep blowing it up even bigger, and maybe I'll end up back in Canada too doing stuff. I hope not, but I was 29 miles from Canada, dude. It's pretty wild from where I was. It just got, it was nuts. It's cold up there.
It's way too cold. Like when I traveled doing applications,
and
I was in Ohio for 11 months. And I started there in the summertime, springtime. Beautiful.
Yeah. Beautiful. Oh, yeah.
I was 5 minutes from Lake Erie staying at the hotel I was at.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and it was that lake effect snow. I went to bed one night at 11 o'clock. Got up the next morning, 6 a.m. It was 32 inches of snow on the ground from 11 to 6.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, I'm used to like 2 or 3 inches down here in South Carolina. Yeah. I'm like, used to this. And I called the guys at the shop. I was like, hey, man, I'm from the South. Like, I might be a few minutes late. They're like, what? This ain't nothing. Like, come on down here. I was like, first I got to dig my car out.
Yeah. You're going to have to come get me.
Yeah. But as soon as I got out of the parking lot, you didn't think it was snowing. Like, you'd see the snow.
Yeah.
It was falling down, but the roads were clear.
It's crazy. Like,
but the snow plows, they didn't care. I was in a Chrysler 300. He threw that snow all over the top of my car. I'm like, you joker.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's wild, bro. I'm telling you. And I was there 2 Thanksgivings ago, and it dumped 61 inches in 24 hours.
Yeah, that's too much.
Yeah. It was cool to see.
But it wasn't cool when it stayed.
But then you got to deal with it, you know. And then I was like, that's a blizzard, you know.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's not a blizzard.
No.
We had a blizzard that Christmas, which is pretty much like a hurricane, but with
snow.
And I mean, it's blowing trees over, houses are covered, and like, snow comes down with the snowstorm. Blizzard, it goes sideways and every which way. It was mm-hmm. crazy. But all right, man, let's get up out of here.
Yes, sir.
All right. Appreciate
it. On to your butt.
The bigger point.
Well, ain't you gonna press the flesh, Pappy? Do a little politicking?
I'll press your flesh, you primitive son bitch.
You don't tell your pappy how to cut the electorate. We ain't one at a time in here. We're mass communicating.
Oh, yeah. That's a powerful new force.
Mm-hmm.
Take your leg, Junior.